Track 2. Hello and welcome to the news recorded on Wednesday, the 28th of March, 2018. I'm Sue.
I'm Louise.
And I'm Margaret.
Your sound engineers this week are John and Martin. Now, Louise, we'll start us off with the news.
The character of a row of historic terraced homes in Old Swinford looks to have been saved for future generations after the council opted to remove certain permitted development rights following a bid from one of the residents to knock down the front wall to create a parking space. The owners of one of the Victorian properties, which have remained unchanged for more than 140 years, had applied for planning permission to drop the kerb at the front to allow access for a vehicle, but the plan was refused in September on safety grounds. An appeal was subsequently launched, but it too was dismissed in January, with the planning inspectors stating the scheme would have a harmful effect on highway and pedestrian safety. Part of the plan, however, which involved removing the existing brick wall to the front of the property, did not require planning consent as it fell within permitted development rights. So the council has now taken action to ensure any changes to the frontages of the distinctive homes, originally known as Mount Terrace, would have to be approved by planners. Councillor Ian Kettle, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Planning and Economic Development, said, "This particular area of Hagley Road features a terrace of beautiful Victorian homes. The frontages of these properties retain a lot of their original characteristics from when they were first built. That includes the distinctive brick boundary walls around the front gardens. As a council, we're very proud of our past, and the idea behind this is to protect the character and the appearance of the frontage of this row of historic buildings for future generations. Residents will still, of course, be able to apply for full planning permission, and this will be considered on its merits."
Around 50 people gathered at the Apple Tree Inn in Cosley to voice their concerns over Dudley Council's plan to create a temporary travellers' transit site in the borough to halt unauthorised camps. Proposals for the site in Budden Road were approved by the Council's Cabinet last month, and now a public consultation is being carried out before a decision is made on the planning application. Local resident Tony Sheldon, aged 70, said, "We are going to do our own test on the site to check for contamination. We are prepared to do anything to stop it. We will fund it ourselves if we have to." Protesters have previously raised concerns over the safety of the site for residential use, owing to the level of contamination they claim is present. The site has been recorded as containing foundry and construction waste. Mr. Sheldon said, "When you stop and look at the sites that were suggested, how they came up with this as the preferred site, I have no idea. There are more appropriate and cheaper sites to convert. This site is contaminated. We have raised this at every meeting we've been to about this site. The environmental report on the council's website supports that argument. There may be children and toddlers on that land, and it's not safe. Whatever your opinion on travellers is, it's not safe to put anyone on that site in its present condition." However, Councillor Patrick Harley, leader of the council, said the site had been made safe and that there would be no unacceptable risk to human health at the site. "The issue of contamination is not new. It has been raised by residents several times throughout the consultation period." Councillor Harley said, "While we understand their concerns, we have reassured them on a number of occasions that the site has been made safe. We would be more than happy to share relevant reports regarding contamination with residents if requested," he said. He continued, "For obvious reasons, we would be uncomfortable with allowing intrusive investigations by third parties. Without firm reassurance, the site would be restored to its original conditions afterwards."
Dudley will get its own version of London's popular Boris bikes next year. The first batch of rental bikes will be hitting the streets in September this year, when 2,000 will be installed across Birmingham, Coventry and Wolverhampton. A further 3,000 bikes will be rolled out in Dudley, Sandwell and Walsall in 2019. Transport for West Midlands, which is part of the West Midlands Combined Authority, has picked Next Bike to run Bike Share, which will be the UK's largest docked bike share scheme outside London. The initiative will be similar to the capital's Boris Bike scheme, named after the city's former mayor, Boris Johnson, and will see docking stations located across key sites in the towns and cities with bikes available 24 hours a day. Annual membership to the scheme will cost £30 per year, meaning riders can access the bikes for as little as 8p per day. Swift card members will be able to access the bikes as part of their regular subscription, and payments will be fully integrated. The landmark scheme will also bring 50 jobs to the region, with posts including area managers, van drivers and mechanics up for grabs. West Midlands Mayor Andy Street said, "Cycling has an important role to play in tackling issues such as congestion, air pollution and health. So I'm really pleased we've reached the stage of announcing who will run the scheme in the West Midlands from September." Councillor Roger Lawrence, leader of Wolverhampton City Council and WMCA portfolio holder for transport, said, "Cities and towns right across Europe have schemes such as this as a way to cut congestion and drive up participation in cycling. It's high time we had a similar thing in the West Midlands." Julian Scriven, Next Bikes Managing Director for the UK, added, "We're absolutely thrilled to be bringing Next Bikes to the people of the West Midlands. We are able to offer the most technology advanced and forward-thinking bike share scheme and fleet in the UK. The interconnectivity it will offer is going to be brilliant. It will really help to make journeys across the Midlands seamless."
Tickets are flying out so fast for a four-day summer comedy festival in Wollaston that organisers have been forced to draft in a bigger marquee. Demand has quickly outstripped supply for Fitzfest, which will run from June the 7th to 10th at Katie Fitzgerald's, featuring 13 professional acts. The show will now take place in a special marquee, which will be erected on the pub's car park, almost doubling the capacity for every night. Award-winning comic Paul Sinner, who is best known outside of stand-up as a cineman on ITV Tea Time quiz show The Chase, is proving especially popular, headlining the opening night. Dudley comic Wayne Beese, who will be comparing the shows, said, "The response since we put tickets on sale for Fitzfest just under a month ago has been unbelievable. If we'd been putting it on in the regular marquee, we would be in the position where we'd be putting the sold-out signs up for Paul Sinner already. We want to give as many people as possible the opportunity to see top-class live comedy on their doorsteps, so we've decided to invest a bit of cash to increase the capacity for the show. We just need people to keep supporting us now and keep buying tickets. It would be amazing to fill this bigger marquee for all four nights in our first ever festival." Observational comic Sean Walsh, who has appeared on the likes of Live at the Apollo, Mock the Week and 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, will top the bill on the closing night on June the 10th. In between, the two weekend headline slots will be filled by Barbara Neese, the housewife character creation of Phoenix Night star Janice Connolly, and popular black country comic Johnny Cole. They will headline nights on June 8th and 9th respectively. Tickets for Fitzfest cost £15 per show, plus booking fees, but there are two special offers for diehard comedy fans looking to make a weekend of it. Those booking for two of the four shows will get them for £25 to £12.50 a ticket, plus booking fees, whilst fans booking for all four can snap them up for £40 plus the fees. Obviously, once the first show sells out, and we don't think that will be long the way tickets for Paul Sinha are going, we won't be able to offer that deal anymore. So if people want to see all four, they should snap those up while they can. Organisers are on the lookout for sponsors for the festival, with free tickets to the show on offer as part of competitive packages. Interested businesses should email wpbeese@hotmail.com. For more information about the shows or to book tickets, visit www.skiddle.com/e/131508.
Dudley Zoo has a cracking variety of activities lined up for Easter visitors, including a new play equipment, fun on the farm and egg stra, animal talks, baby bats and naked mole rats are not the only new additions to the popular tourist attractions. Two on-site play areas have had new play equipment installed to keep youngsters active during their visit. There's plenty more to keep them busy down on the farm, where they can meet Bertie Bunny, the cuddly mascot who will be dishing out chocolate eggs over the Easter weekend. Craft activities and colouring pages will also be available at the farm, as well as an Easter Bunny trail around the zoo grounds. Keepers will be giving extra talks too, providing visitors with plenty of fun facts about some of the incredible animals in the 1,600-strong collection. And if that wasn't enough, the zoo's popular vintage chairlift, the only one of its kind in the country, is up and running in time for the Easter break, after its annual makeover. Curator Richard Brown said, "We've replaced the play equipment in two play areas, one by the camel enclosure and the other on the lawn by the Queen Mary restaurant. With crafts, playgrounds, talks and trails, there is something for everyone at Dudley Zoo this Easter. And bad at that, they just need the weather."
A developer has donated £500 to support a hospital radio station. Walton Homes has handed the cash to Hospital Radio Stafford to help the service continue to air. The station had requested support in funding a new IT network, and the business donated £500 to help. Colin Smith, Hospital Radio Stafford Secretary, said, "We are committed to providing a 24-hour radio to those listeners within our broadcast area. The new IT system is vital to sustaining our free service to hospital and hospice patients, and perhaps enabling us to move further forward into a new audience opportunity. We are delighted that Walton Homes acknowledge the value of what our team of volunteers do."
Ambitious plans for a new leisure centre and the revamp of two others in the Dudley Borough have been backed by council bosses. Crystal Leisure Centre in Stourbridge will be refurbished under the plans. The new facility will be built on Flood Street in Dudley, while Stourbridge and Halsey Inn Leisure Centres will be refurbished under a £24.5 million scheme. The plans were backed by Dudley Council's Cabinet at its latest meeting. Dudley Council leader Patrick Harley said, "The scheme will massively improve leisure facilities in the borough. After the dithering by the Labour administration, I'm proud our administration, the Conservatives, are delivering this." Dudley's current leisure centre on Wellington Road will be demolished once the new site is finished, but will remain open while the work takes place. Crystal Leisure Centre in Stourbridge and Halsey Inn Leisure Centre will be revamped and modernised, with users of both facilities set to face disruption while work takes place. However, council planners said they have earmarked the work to take place in phases to minimise the impact. Both centres will feature refurbished pools, new gym facilities, new changing rooms, new cafes and a facelift. Building work on the new leisure centre is set to start in April 2019 and will take 12 months. A planning application is required before work can begin and will need backing by the council's planning committee. However, Councillor Harley does not expect this to be contentious. A new site will feature a 25-metre swimming pool with 8 lanes, a smaller learning pool, changing facilities, a sports hall with 5 courts, a 100-station gym, 2 studios, viewing areas and a cafe. Some funding will be provided by Sport England. The current Wellington Road site will make way for residential housing. Work at Stourbridge will begin in July this year, with refurbishment to start in April 2019, lasting for 12 months. At Halsey Inn, work is set to start a year later, with refurbishment starting in April 2020, also lasting for 12 months. Speaking at the Cabinet meeting, Labour councillor Hilary Bills said Halsey Inn Leisure Centre does not have family changing facilities, which causes problems to users. But Councillor Harley said planners will be looking at this issue during the refurbishment.
Family and friends came together to celebrate a landmark birthday for a Craigley Heath resident, Iris Cooper, who lives in Valley Court. She enjoyed a very happy 100th birthday with two parties to mark the occasion. She grew up in Langley, later living in Hales Owen, and for many years in Hayseach, Craigley Heath, before moving to Valley Court in 2014. Iris enjoyed more than 60 years of marriage with her late husband Jim. Her many interests included sewing, cooking and singing in a choir. She's also been an active, long-standing member of Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, and during her secretarial career was known for her expert shorthand skills. Niece Maureen Richards said, "Even at 100, Iris is a very strong lady. She dresses herself every morning for breakfast and is very independent. She remembers everything." Iris had a lovely birthday, celebrating with family, friends and everyone at Valley Court, including Reverend Father Stephen Fawcett from the church. Councillor Anne Shackleton, Sandwell Council's Cabinet Member for Adult Social Care, is an old friend too and attended the party. She said, "I have known Iris for nearly 30 years as a neighbour and a friend. Her communication skills are excellent and we have had some lively conversations, and what a memory she has."
More than 2,000 youngsters went missing from schools across the Black Country in Staffordshire. Data from councils in the region showed children were missing from schools for substantial periods of this academic year. Schools in Sandwell reported the highest number of missing children, while a fewer number of children went missing from schools in Wolverhampton. Liberal Democrat campaigner Ian Jenkins said his party was concerned some young people were at serious risk of abuse and exploitation, as well as missing out on education. He added, "All children missing education are very vulnerable. They are likely to underachieve academically, and evidence suggests that they may also be at greater risk of abuse, exploitation and neglect than their peers. They are also at serious risk of forced marriage, female genital mutilation and even radicalisation." He also added that councils were failing some of these children who need help, love and support the most. Councils revealed just 34 missing children were recorded in Wolverhampton. 201 pupils were missing in Walsall and 205 in Shropshire. Data also showed there were 419 missing children in Dudley. Staffordshire reported 555 young people not in education and 656 children missing in Sandwell. Almost one in five of children recorded missing were known to social services in Dudley. The data release showed many of the youngsters were also on free school meals, 23% of missing pupils in Dudley. Councillor Steve Elan, Sandwell Council member, said there can be a range of reasons why a child is not on the school roll, from behavioural difficulties or being permanently excluded to being new in Sandwell, and those without a place are found one within 4 to 6 weeks. At any one time, there are usually around 75 children missing education, a small proportion when our school education is in excess of 53,000 children.
It has been a project years in the making to restore a landmark back to a Black Country neighbourhood. Councillor Stuart Henley posted photographs at Shell Corner with the new memorial, which had been decorated by students from Hales Owen College. A bombshell once stood in Shell Corner, Hales Owen, which is how the area earned its original name. But it went missing 5 decades ago due to changes in the road layout. However, now a new Shell monument has returned to Shell Corner in its rightful place. The project has been led by Hales Owen North Ward Councillor Stuart Henley. He says he faced numerous obstacles in getting the monument installed. The project began in May 2016 when Councillor Henley was given the shell by a bomb squadron in Essex. A planning application was needed for monument, and Councillor Henley said it narrowly got through. "It was a struggle to get to this stage," he said. The plans were passed before Dudley Council's planning committee, but because it was being built on a public highway, it had to go before them again. Every Labour councillor voted against the installation of the shell, and it got pushed through by the chair of the committee. The monument has been installed on the junction of Long Lane and Maple Road. It features a brick plinth which people are able to sit on. The monument will also serve as a point of remembrance. Councillor Henley said, "It has been completed on the year of the centenary. People will be able to lie wreaths at the site and remember servicemen in November and throughout the year. The shell was originally installed in 1924. It existed in Shell Corner for around 50 years before disappearing during the 70s to change to road layouts."
A Hales Owen man who left his brother-in-law with a badly damaged hand when he viciously attacked him with a broken golf club as he made his way home from a mosque has been jailed for 2 years. The victim suffered a significant injury as he tried to ward off a blow from a sharpened end of the club, and it was unlikely he would ever fully recover the use of his hand. He had to undergo 2 major operations to help relieve his agonising constant pain, said Glyn Samuel, prosecuting, and he was still unable to straighten his hand properly. The man pleaded with Amjad Mohammed to take him to hospital as his hand bled profusely after the attack, but he was indifferent to his request and he drove away from the scene, added Mr. Samuel. Mohammed of Peckingham Street was angry at the time after a family dispute and he had earlier smashed windows in the nearby home of a relative. He then spotted his brother-in-law as he was walking home from worshipping at the mosque and he thrust the broken end of the golf club towards his neck. But as he made a desperate bid to deflect the blow, he was seriously stabbed in the palm of his left hand, Wolverhampton Crown Court was told. Mohammed admitted causing grievous bodily harm and possessing an offensive weapon. And recorder Leonard Pyle told the 38-year-old it was clear the victim had to undergo reconstructive surgery, adding, "This injury has permanently affected his life." Nigel Stelling, for Mohammed, said his client, who had 59 previous convictions on his criminal record, had been suffering at the time from depression and a chronic addiction to alcohol. But he stressed that after his release from a 16-month custodial sentence imposed for motoring offences, he had been taking steps to put his life back in order. There had also been a reconciliation between him and some members of his family since the offence, concluded Mr. Stelling.
Dudley planners have approved proposals for a brand new care home for the elderly, which aims to transform a rundown site close to Stourbridge Town. Entrepreneur Jim Driscoll, MBE, creator of children's TV show The Shoe People, had been working on plans to see the site of his former Storm Group studios into a state-of-the-art residential care facility over the past few years. The 1.5-acre gateway site owned by Mr. Driscoll was previously home to Stourbridge Labour Club and the YMCA, but has been derelict for the last 6 or 7 years. Dudley Council's planners, however, have now given a green light to an ambitious scheme submitted by luxury care home developers, the Cinnamon Care Collection, which will see a 3 to 4 storey multi-million pounds 80-bed care complex built on that site. Mr. Driscoll said he was keen for the site to be given over to the care industry as he believes such a facility is desperately needed in the town. He said it was fantastic news that the scheme had been approved, adding, "I'm delighted it's taken a while to get there. It's fantastic for the area. It will create jobs. It's desperately needed and it will tidy up that whole area." Stourbridge Councillor Nick Barlow, Dudley's Cabinet Member for Adult Social Care, said the development would enable elderly people to live their lives as independently as possible and fill a much-needed gap in existing care facilities in the borough. Planners gave approval for the scheme on March the 15th, but a raft of conditions had to be adhered to before development can get underway, one of which states work must not start until a scheme for protecting residents at the facility from traffic noise on Hagley Road and music from the neighbouring Arena nightclub has been submitted and approved by the local planners.
A library in Wolverhampton has been officially reopened after a £60,000 makeover. Sparkling new Penn Library is open once again to visitors after being closed since December, while extensive work took place inside and out. Councillor John Reynolds proudly cut the bright purple ribbon to declare the much-loved facility officially back in use again. He said, "The new facilities are excellent, with new seating and flooring, including colourful tables and chairs for younger readers, creating a warm and welcoming environment for our customers. The refurbishment has seen the Carwhite Avenue Library completely redecorated and its back office space reconfigured to create a new community lounge and meeting room. The layout of the main library area has also been changed to make better use of the space, while old shelving has been replaced." Councillor Reynolds added, "This improvement work at Penn Library is further evidence of our commitment to developing a strong and sustainable library network for the people of Wolverhampton. It has made Penn Library much more community orientated and will hopefully increase the number of people who are able to make use of this vital facility on a regular basis. This work was carried out in response to feedback from local people, which we received during the development of our 10-year strategy for Wolverhampton's libraries, and I would like to thank customers for bearing with us while these improvements were completed. Penn Library's opening hours are Tuesdays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Thursdays 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Fridays 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Visit wolverhampton.gov.uk/libraries for more.
Historic lanterns worth more than £10,000 stolen from outside a school have been returned a year later after they were found nearly 100 miles away. The two copper Art Deco lanterns belonging to Chancel Primary were stolen in March last year. They are believed to have been a feature of the school in Wolseley Road, Rugeley, after it was built in 1936. But they have now been recovered in Huddersfield and returned to their rightful place at the school. It comes after an appeal that also appeared on Crime Watch. Head teacher at the school in Rugeley, Tina Blankley, said, "We are absolutely elated and delighted to have them back. I think it has been a real team effort, not just from the school, but also the community, police and Crime Watch. At the time, I was shocked and disgusted. They were just part of the building and they are just the sort of thing I walk past every day. It is something you miss once it's gone. After a while, we had given up hope. We just want to say a really huge thank you to everybody for their ongoing support. The fact that everybody has been so concerned about them, nobody gave up hope. I want to thank Crime Watch, staff, children, police and members of the public. They are originally Art Deco lanterns from the 1930s. The children and staff are thrilled. We cannot believe we've got them back. We hope to get the steps in place to ensure they are secure and theft-proof so we can put them back where they belong. Two men, who are both white and thought to be in their early 20s, were caught on CCTV climbing over the school gate. A Staffordshire Police spokeswoman said, "We are continuing to investigate several lines of inquiry, and anyone with any information about the theft is asked to contact us on 101, quoting incident number 355 of 11th of March.
And with that last final piece of news from Margaret, we'll make way for this week's notices. So it's goodbye from Sue.
Goodbye from Louise.
And bye-bye from Margaret.
Goodbye, everybody.